This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th and 8th chapters.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, and she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of their evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's sister Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some of you know I'm a huge fan of the singer Adele. I just think she is very talented. She's got this incredibly expressive voice. And a while back, I discovered a YouTube video that she did called Carpool Karaoke. And she does this with a guy named James Corden. And the whole idea of the video is that she jumps into a car and she's interviewed by this host, James, as they drive through the rainy streets of London. And at times during the interview, James turns on the stereo in the car and the two of them break into song together. So not only do you get a chance to hear Adele live, you also get to know a little something about her as a person. And it's just a great video. I think it's had over 100 million views on YouTube. And if you haven't seen it yet, I'd encourage you to find it and take a look at it after the service. You don't need to do it right now. One of the things I like about this video, though, is that besides just sounding incredible, which she does, Adele really looks like she's having a good time, an amazingly good time during this whole thing. She's funny, she's humble, and she comes across as just a genuine human being, a good person. And at one point, she and James break into this old Spice Girls song. And you find out during the course of the video that as a young girl, Adele was a big Spice Girls fan. So it's no surprise that they break into this song. And the song is called Wannabe. And one of the lines in that song really jumped out at me because it reminded me so much of our lessons this week on forgiveness. And that line in the song that jumped out at me is, if you want my future, forget my past. That, in a nutshell, is what's going on both in our gospel lesson and in our first lesson today. In that first lesson, we know King David as a man of God. But he was also a man with a very checkered past. It's true, the prophet Samuel describes young David as a man after God's own heart. And it's true that David loves God and that he does a lot of things that are right in the Lord's eyes. But our first reading today comes after he's done some terrible things. David abused his authority as king by committing adultery with this woman Bathsheba that he saw bathing. And then he connived to have her husband killed so he could take her as his own wife. You know, as far as sinning goes, adultery and murder, doesn't get much worse than that. So God sends the prophet Nathan to confront David with his great sin. And Nathan begins very tactfully by spinning this parable of a great injustice that takes place. He tells that story about how this rich, powerful man just crushes a weak, poor man. And this obvious injustice just inflames David. He declares, the man who has done this deserves to die. And if you read the Hebrew, the literal in the Hebrew is that the man is a son of death. And the surprising climax of this whole story is when Nathan boldly confronts the king and he tells him, you are the man. And it comes as kind of a huge shock that he would take on the king like this. But it's almost as great a shock when we hear David's immediate response. He's cut to the heart by this confrontation. And immediately after that, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And did you notice what happens next? The prophet of God speaking on behalf of God tells David that his great sin is forgiven. Now the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. This great sinner, this abuser of royal power, this murderer and adulterer, this son of death, who's, you know, he's proclaimed with his own mouth that he deserves to die. This guy is forgiven. You shall not die is God's loving and merciful response. When we think about it, David's sin unleashed death. And it just kind of comes as a shock to us that with his confession and repentance, David can reclaim life even in the midst of this death that's going on around him. His own self-proclaimed verdict as a son of death gives way to Nathan's and the Lord's quiet word, you shall not die. God, in his mercy, is willing to forget David's past. And without God's forgiveness, David's future, our future, would be all too certain. We know that Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners. And if God were not willing to forget our past, we would quite simply have no future. I want to be clear about one thing in this story, though. You notice that even though God forgives David's sin, it doesn't mean that that sin has no consequences. Because of his confession and repentance, this sin won't bring him death, either spiritual or physical. But Nathan declares to David that there will be consequences for David's sinful actions. And sadly, these consequences will unfold in death and tragedy and violence that plague David's family for years. But being set free from the eternal consequences of death allows David and allows us to live right now with a clean slate. We can begin to live as citizens in the kingdom of God right now, and we don't have to live as citizens of the worldly kingdom. And of course, something very similar happens in our gospel lesson. And while it might not be exactly obvious to us as we read this lesson today, I can tell you that this little snippet that we read is just full of sexual tension. In it, a woman with a checkered past crashes a party thrown by a Pharisee to which Jesus is invited. As far as the Pharisee is concerned, this woman's past defines her present and her future. As a matter of fact, in his mind, this woman's past is going to define Jesus also. And while our text doesn't come right out and say it, there's every indication that this woman was known as a prostitute. And it's a good bet that she looked the part with the way that she dressed and with her hair all made up and with all of her makeup on. And she, of course, would not have been on the invitation list to that party. But she probably slipped in with all the commotion that swirls around Jesus and his following when they entered the house. And, you know, if we read a little bit into the story, we can definitely get the impression that this is not the first time that this unnamed woman has encountered Jesus. And there's little doubt that she's already heard him preached, and she's already experienced, and this is key, she's already experienced the forgiveness he offers. And it's just changed her life completely. And we know that she has planned this encounter with Jesus because she's brought this expensive ointment in this expensive alabaster jar. You don't just walk around with that. You don't just bump into Jesus at this party. She's planned this whole thing. And once she realizes that her plan has worked and that she's up close and personal with Jesus, this same Jesus who has changed her life, she's overcome with emotion. She cries tears of joy as she hugs the feet of her Savior. And I can just imagine the looks of horror from all the so-called respectable people sitting at that table while this woman with a past dares to touch a man in public, as her tears of joy ruin her makeup, and as she lets down her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. What a spectacle this was. What a scandal that it takes place in the house of a God-fearing Pharisee. Things like that just are not supposed to happen. And Simon the Pharisee is quick to judge both the woman and Jesus. In his heart, he identifies this woman only with her past. And as far as he's concerned, her sinful past, that's what defines her. And he just assumes that there's no way that Jesus could be the prophet that everyone said that he was because he let that kind of woman be near him, let alone touch him. It never crosses his mind that Jesus' word might actually have been a life-changing experience for this woman. That somehow going forward through her repentance and changed heart, that God would forget her past and brighten her future. And of course, we know that old Simon is wrong on both judgments, right? Faith in Christ and in his word does bring about a changed heart. It does bring about repentance and forgiveness of sin. It does put our past behind us and opens up our future in the kingdom of God. We know all that. And as Luke has been making clear all through his gospel leading up to this story, we know that Jesus is more than a prophet, that Simon has it wrong on that account too. We see how Jesus speaks to the woman after he straightened out Simon. We see by the way he speaks to the woman that he is, in fact, more than a prophet. He says to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Here Jesus is using God language. Devout Jews knew that it was only God who forgave sins and brought salvation. Jesus had to be more than a prophet if he's speaking authoritatively like that. You know, a prophet only pointed out the sins of the people. He called the people to repent, and it was God who forgave the sins. It was way above the pay grade of a prophet to forgive sins. They never tried to do that. So in speaking authoritatively about forgiving sins and this woman's salvation, Jesus was showing the world that he was more than a prophet. And so Jesus causes quite a stir at Simon's dinner party, doesn't he? Proclaiming forgiveness and peace and salvation to a woman who had definitely earned her bad reputation. But in the process, his own reputation was growing. He was showing the world he was more than a prophet. And we know that because the party guests were left chattering amongst themselves. Who is this that even forgives sin? Something only God could do. As Jesus and his followers went on their way, it wasn't just their preaching that attracted attention. Jesus wasn't only proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was living the kingdom of God. He talked about forgiveness and then welcomed followers who had been healed and forgiven. He talked about love. And then he welcomed a woman who returned that love to him. He did more than just talk about the kingdom of God. Jesus lived the kingdom of God. He talked about a woman who served him the way a good host should have served him. And then we're told in that very last passage how he welcomed women into his group of followers and how they supported his ministry out of their resources. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the kingdom of God, our lessons tell us today that a person's past is much less important than their future. And this has to be gospel. This has to be good news for us today. Because like David, or like that woman in our gospel lesson today, each and every one of us has a past. And without Christ, that past might very well define our present. And I could tell you that it most assuredly would define our future. With Christ in our lives, and with the power of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, we're raised to new life. New life in eternity. And we're given the power and the desire right now to live kingdom lives beginning today. We're no longer bound by our past. Because of what Jesus does for us on the cross, God forgets our past and gives us a future. When God looks at us now, he doesn't see our old sinful selves. He sees us the way he sees his son. Perfect. Blameless. Without blemish. Thanks be to God, we really are new creations. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." And that includes me and you. Through Christ, God forgets our past and gives us a future, an eternal future that begins right now. Thanks be to God.